From the downed Malaysia airliner in the Ukraine to the border crisis in Texas, the Obama administration and Congress have plenty of fronts to deal with. There's also the Iraqi ambassador. He's called on the United States to help beat the extremist group ISIS that's taken over parts of northern and western Iraq. For more on how the government will sort out its foreign affairs, we turn to Jesse Burns, staff writer for The Hill newspaper. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning.
So how will they sort out what they have to do? It's like a juggling act right now.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to do on a lot of different fronts. It seems like the crisis in eastern Ukraine with the downed plane is maybe one of the most pertinent for the Obama White House that it's dealing with right now, trying to keep an eye on the situation, see what the Russian response is, and if they will respond in an effective manner to make sure that those responsible for the downed plane are held responsible. But definitely keeping an eye on some of these other situations. Gaza, the death toll continues to rise, and Secretary of State John Kerry goes over there to demand for a ceasefire. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that and how long the fighting there continues.
So let's take what happened in Ukraine, first of all. I mean, with regards to that, Congress can say a lot, but is it doing anything? Is it even holding hearings or trying to find out information?
You know, at this point, it seems like most of the response is, purely just individual congressmen and women, going on the Sunday programs and being very vocal about how Putin needs to man up, needs to take responsibility. There's been little congressional action, it seems, to actually hold hearings and respond to this. At this point, it seems like the situation is still at the highest level between the president and President Putin, as well as their Secretary of State and Ministers of Foreign Affairs. And so at this point, yeah, it does seem like it's still at that very top level, and it's a very dynamic situation among the international community. The United Nations obviously pressing for a full and open investigation, which Russia supported, but then Russia being very defensive in terms of the evidence that has come out. And if the evidence actually points towards the separatists, there's a lot of different theories coming out of Russia, being pushed by Russian media, pretty much putting the blame everywhere except for the separatists and for the Russian-backed Ukrainian rebels. And so it's something for the White House that they have to watch, and for Congress, too, just to keep an eye and realize, if the European Union and those European nations do take the lead, which I think most leaders in Washington are kind of hoping will happen, if that doesn't happen, what is the U.S. response? Does the U.S. have a unilateral response? Obviously, last week, Wednesday, before the plane went down, the U.S. passed the largest, to the date, the harshest sanctions on Russia unilaterally. And so if the European nations do not respond to the downed plane, what does that look like for American policy? And does the U.S. go it alone? We just don't know right now.
So the Hill then seems to be sort of not that well unified from the sound of what you're saying.
I mean, it seems like the Hill is pretty unified in that, Russia is at least indirectly responsible, if not solely responsible, for the large-scale operation. You saw Senator Feinstein, the Senate Intelligence Committee chairwoman, go on CNN on Sunday and saying that, this is escalating to a Cold War mentality, and Michael McCaul, a Republican from the House Homeland Security Committee on the other side of the aisle, reiterating that sentiment, essentially saying that, Putin is trying to bring in these Russian-speaking Balkan nations and trying to, return to the old days of the Soviet Empire. And so it seems like, members, Republicans and Democrats, are agreeing that Russia needs to stand up. Putin personally needs to stand up and take responsibility for this. But most leaders probably would like European nations to take the lead on further sanctions and a further response to Putin.
And if the EU doesn't, Does that somehow harm the United States' stance so far, which has been relatively tough compared to the EU towards Putin, but not as tough as many in Congress would like to see?
Yeah, there's some in Congress that would like the U.S. to, you know, regardless of what the EU does, go straight after Putin and try to make it hurt personally with further sanctions. Representative Moran, Jim Moran from Virginia, Democrat, who the Kremlin banned from traveling to Russia in retaliation to previous sanctions, said, you know, Europe can't afford to stand by in light of the plane crash. Representative King from New York went on CBS and said that, you know, maybe the world should take symbolic action, cancel the 2018 World Cup in Russia, ban flights from Russia's largest airline from landing. And so there are some that would, you know, go directly towards what the U.S. can do in realm of the international community. Some are taking a harder stance than others. The hope was coming out of the EU. The EU met Tuesday to try and come to some deal. It's a tricky situation for a lot of European countries. Russia provides up to a third of the EU's energy needs, but one maybe bright spot coming out of the European Union was British Prime Minister David Cameron, who said Monday that the disaster, you know, changed the situation, and so that might allude to some of the more prominent European nations actually stepping up to the plate.
Well, I hate to say it, I remember where my car was parked during the 1983 shoot down by the then Soviet Union of the Korean Flight 007, and quite a different response in those days, although I guess eventually what had been the Soviet Union then handed over all the documents about the orders for that shoot down. We'll see if that happens when it gets back to being the Union. We're speaking with Jesse Burns, staff writer at the Hill newspaper, and moving over to the Iraq situation. What is developing there? I mean, on the Hill and in the interplay with the White House that might affect what agencies have to do in response to that situation?
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. Obviously, over the weekend in the northern city of Mosul, there was ISIS, the Islamic State for Iraq and Syria, moved in and essentially said that all the Christians that were there, and the percentage has been going down, but all of them had to either pay that tax to stay or leave. And several media, you know, reporting that the top religious clerics in Iraq said that no Christians remained after Saturday. All of them had left the city because of that. You know, the U.S. response to it, it said yesterday that it's not going to provide military assistance to Iraq, and that, you know, supposedly the vacuum, so to speak, would be filled by others. Ambassador Lucian Feeley, you know, saying that Iran has offered all of this help literally to replace America, but so far Iraq has refused. It'll be interesting to see kind of where this goes if the United States, through maybe some, you know, again, European allies or just diplomatically tries to rally support in the area. It seems like ISIS is very much on the ground and very on the offensive, and so the response to that is likely going to be military. It's just a matter of, is it the U.S. military alone, or does the U.S. even play a role in that? Is it more of an intelligence and advisory and support role for others in the area?
And Jesse, I want to ask you, I mean, we should keep in mind that there is another conflict going on between Gaza and Israel as well. The sense from the Hill, is there a sense of priorities among these conflicts? If the U.S. is going to get involved in some manner in a deeper way, which one should get more resources? Or is there also a sense that we don't want to get too far deep into any because we've seen what's happened when we do that over the past 10 years?
Sure. It seems like many of these are coming to a head at the same time or very quickly right after another. In the past couple of weeks, it seemed like the priority might have been on dealing with ISIS and focusing on Iraq and even Afghanistan, some top military leaders kind of questioning the president's May decision to withdraw all American forces from Afghanistan by the end of 2016. After the plane crash in Ukraine, it does seem like that is probably taking top priority. although President Obama and Secretary Kerry are keeping a close eye on Gaza, you know, nearly 600, and the death count changes, you know, almost by the hour, and the death count in Gaza, nearly 600 or over 600, depending on some sources there. Kerry traveling over there today with U.N. Secretary Ban Ki-moon, speaking in Jerusalem, trying to push for an immediate ceasefire. The U.S. Announced on Monday that they would provide $47 million in humanitarian assistance to Gaza, but President Obama has been very vocal that while you know the U.S. has very good relations, obviously we're allies with Israel, the U.S. would like to see minimal casualties in Gaza, and right now it doesn't seem like there is a drawdown in the operation, the Israeli operation in Gaza, just because they're uncovering more and more of these tunnels of coming from Gaza into the into Israel. And as they uncover more of those tunnels, and as they further interact and engage with Hamas, the terrorist organization there in Palestine, you're going to see probably a stronger Israeli response to that. And the U.S. would like to, you know, see a ceasefire, but at the same time, they realize that Israel is going to defend itself. There were President Obama and Secretary Kerry were speaking with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over the weekend, and in two different conversations, sirens were going off in Tel Aviv, and Netanyahu had to go into a bunker. And so the U.S. realizes it's an insane, as Kerry would put it, to try and live in that kind of situation. And so the U.S. will fully support Israel, but it would like to see a limit to the number of casualties.
Yeah, John Kerry certainly has his plate full. Jesse Burns is a staff writer for The Hill. Jesse, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.